Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so today I want to talk about Governor Abbott and the fact that he's actually issued 8 executive orders in response to El Paso and Odessa shooting. 8 executive orders. I think this is the first time I've ever, you know, since I've been tracking the Texas legislature, first time I've heard of the governor issuing executive orders. So we're going to take a look at those this hour. And then also, man, he got so many different things to talk about. When we get into talking about the executive orders, I want to keep in mind this. This is where we are today. You know, we're at the point where, you know, people need emotional support dogs and cats and pigs and all kinds of things. You know, we're at the point where we're giving away participation awards, you know, for different things. That's where we are now. We've gotten away from disciplining our kids, you know, saying, you know what? Not everyone's going to win. Not everyone's a leader. Not everyone's going to be a manager. Not everyone, you know, can, you know, become the lead in different positions for different companies or different activities. You know, someone's going to come in first. Someone's going to come in second. Someone's going to come in third, you know, you're not always going to get an award. You know, also, we don't spank our kids enough. And I think that's going to be a problem. We're not disciplining them. You got to get to that point where we need to get back to, and I hate to say it, the old days when you discipline your kids. Man, do you know, I when I was a young kid and I did something wrong, my grandmother would make me go outside, tear off a switch off the tree, bring it inside, and she would beat me with it to make sure I did the right thing. You know, and I'm not saying maybe, you know, that extreme, but it worked great. and I'm definitely on the right track. I mean, what do you think about that?
I had a father that was very strict. So, on one hand, I definitely understand your point. I think certain times it's something that needs to happen for sure. But I also think that we've gone to the complete extreme in this country where a lot of these younger people, they haven't learned coping mechanisms. Like, their parents bail them out all the time. They don't learn that you're not always going to win. You're not always going to, you know, a lot of these parents like, oh, you can do whatever you want. Sure, that's fine and dandy, but you also have to have a plan to get there, to execute it. They've missed that part of it. And so a lot of these kids, their coping mechanisms, whether you hit them with a switch or you at least like give them some sort of punishment for bad behavior, taking things away works. But we've got a society that they don't even do that anymore a lot of times. Yeah. They just blame it on somebody else or talk about victimhood or some sort of thing. It's because you're X, Y, or Z that this didn't happen. They have none of, so when things don't go their way, they go crazy and go out and shoot 40 people.
And you're right. We've created a society where instead of, you know, people that are fighters and willing to fight back, you know, we create a society of people that like the Pulse shooting, you know, where people, and I know someone's going to get upset about this, where we've you have people running into a restroom, you know, into a dead end. They don't have the drive to fight or to survive, and they get stuck in the bathroom and in the stall on top of each other. And that is an awful way to go. I don't want to go out that way. I want to go out fighting. I want to be that fighter. I want to say, not today. This is not going to happen to me. You know, instead, you know, we create a generation of people that, you know, just they just don't have that drive.
No, they don't. They cower. They wait for somebody else to rescue them. Geez, part of the problem is half of them don't even pay attention. I can on a daily basis be walking in downtown Austin, heading to the gym or wherever, and I constantly have to be extremely aware of my surroundings because 75-80% of them are looking in their phone and not even paying attention to what's going on and who they're going to possibly run in front of. I mean, there is absolutely no situational awareness, like none, and it stuns me. I'm not saying you have to walk around like a maniac, you know, always being alert and aware, but just for general daily life, you can't cross a street looking at your phone. And then you wonder why you got hit by a car, really?
Now, check out this video here. This is a teenager who was running around, a naked teenager, and it's insane, okay? Because this footage shows cops are scrambling to catch a naked teenager who was wanted for a triple homicide in Virginia.
Oh, I saw that video, yeah.
It was crazy, insane. It was like something out of, what's that TV show? You're looking at this, I'm like, is this real, what I'm watching? You know, this Reno 911? Because that's what it looked like to me. It looked like Reno 911.
Yeah, I have been seeing stuff on my newsfeed on Facebook the last several months where every single time I'm stunned at what some people are doing. Not just like things where I'm like, do you not have any common sense?
Yeah. And something like that, you know, I don't want to, you know, Monday morning quarterback, you know, the officer and how they dealt with it and stuff like that. But I tell you, I just would have thumped this, you know, right between the legs. Just thumped it. Just one thump.
I swear I have these police officers. I have no idea how they do it because society is getting more and more belligerent and disrespectful. And they have to still go about handling things in a professional way. I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, so this guy, he was a 19-year-old suspect, allegedly killed his mother, he killed his sister, and 15-month-old nephew, who were found shot dead at a family home in Keeling, Virginia. Now, the teen was chased across fields and country roads before he was finally cornered and overpowered, last week, and left grieving a 24-year-old baseball player, Blake Bivens. It was his wife that was killed, his baby, his mother-in-law, they were killed. And it's just an awful scene. And like I said, this is, you know, you're watching something like this, and this is like you're watching Reno 911. It doesn't even seem real at all. But, you know, and this guy's, you know, it's insane. And this is a society that we are raised, you know. These are the people, you know, this is your family here. We need to, at some point, stand up and say, you know what? I need to get, you know, John or Bob or Bill or Momo, Nene, I need to get them some help, you know, get them some help, get them some assistance, and don't let them move about, you know, the rest of us.
Yeah, I don't know. People don't step in enough.
Not at all. All right, we come back. We're going to talk about the governor. Governor Abbott has issued 8 executive orders in response to El Paso and the Odessa shooting. Going to break down those 8 executive orders. Going to read those to you and then let you know what my thoughts are. And I want to hear what your thoughts are. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
Right. This hour, we're going to talk about Governor Abbott. He issues 8 executive orders in response to El Paso and Odessa shooting. Some legislators have actually come out and said this week and tweeted this week, you know, this governor has lost his ever-loving mind. You know, well, we're going to see and exactly what he's talking about and read these to you. But first, before we go to that, let's talk about Walmart. Let me tell you. So Walmart says it will stop selling handgun and short barrel rifle ammunition while requesting that customers not only openly carry, they not openly carry their firearms in the stores and even where state law allows it. Now, it will also discontinue handgun sales in Alaska, and Walmart stopped selling handguns in the mid-1990s. You know, let's just take a moment here, and we'd like to thank Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, and Google also. You know, let's just take a moment, you know, especially as a locally owned gun shop. As if we're going to take a moment there, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
That's true.
And you know what? And you know what, Walmart? Do me a favor. You know, go all the way with it. Don't just stop selling ammunition. Stop selling guns in all stores. Stop selling all handguns, all long guns. Do us that favor, you know?
There you go.
I mean, don't play around with it, you know? You know, just don't half-step it. Let's go all the way with it, 100%. Show us what you really mean.
Yeah, right.
If this is your stance, go all the way. Don't half-step it at all. Take the stance. Take the full stance, 100%. Stand up for what you believe in. Stop selling everything.
You can stand outside Walmarts with flyers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stop selling. I dare you. On behalf of the small gun stores around the nation, we dare you to stop selling. Go for it. My goodness. Give me a break. All right. So also, man, did you hear about the Michael Draca case? Michael Draca, I don't know if you heard about that one. He was a guy in Florida, and he was actually outside of a grocery store, a convenience store there, and he ended up shooting a guy over a handicapped parking space. I don't know if you remember that case.
That was a while ago.
It happened like over a year ago because
we
talked about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he actually, yeah. So this guy, you know, he's sitting outside the store there, and he decides to tell this young lady who was in the driver's side to, you know, she needed to move because she was in a handicapped parking space, and he was tired of her being in that handicapped parking space. And he was a handgun license holder, you know. And what do we say in class? You know, that license to carry a handgun is not about you being a one-armed security team trained to clear an entire building.
That's right.
About your protection and the protection of your family. It's not about you protecting the entire community. You see someone breaking the law, you know what? Call the police and let law enforcement handle that situation. You can videotape them, call the police, document it, get their tag number, whatever, and then report it. Don't take the law into your own hands. Sometimes you just need to mind your own business.
Yeah.
Well, this guy was actually convicted of this. He got convicted. So what happened was he got out of his car. He walked over to the young lady's vehicle. They're arguing back and forth about them parking in the handicapped parking space. So the lady refused to move. The boyfriend comes out of the store and walks up to this guy, Mr. Draca, and pushes him, knocks him to the ground, and then pulls out his concealed handgun. And the guy, the boyfriend backs up a little bit and he shoots him.
That's right.
And the boyfriend runs into the store and then eventually dies from the shot.
Wow.
And he was convicted because Mr. Draca said he had a right to stand his ground. Well, the problem is, Mr. Draca got into another confrontation weeks before that with a truck driver over the same parking space.
Oh, Jesus.
So Mr. Draca, you know, thought that, yeah, it was his job to sit in that parking lot and patrol that parking lot to make sure no one parked in that handicapped parking space.
Wow.
Yeah. And so now he finally paid the price. Now he's a convicted felon.
Jesus. That's one of those stories that you need to tell in your gun class all the time. Dude, calm down.
Insane. Totally. And then also, there's a disturbing video out of Roseville, Michigan, which gone viral. It shows a 7-Eleven employee who's just using a sink next to the coffee station across from a grilling station to wash his feet.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you've seen that.
I didn't see that. I saw the Whataburger one. Did you see the Whataburger
one? No. What's that one?
In the Whataburger in Bastrop, it was a customer that filmed it. They had a little tiny rat on the counter while they were open and servicing customers, and the rat was going all over, and the customers videoing it, and all the you can hear people like screaming, and then finally someone tries to catch the rat.
Oh my goodness!
And the rat jumps into the fryer.
and fries himself.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So they had to close that Bastrop location and totally clean it.
Oh, you know? Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty gross.
Disgusting. Yeah. So, and the thing about this is they're saying, well, because this guy, part of his religion is to wash his feet and, you know, do certain things in the afternoon and stuff like that. So the thing is, well, you know, you're in the U.S. now, and, you know, when I'm in another country and I'm traveling abroad, you know,
I'll be doing tomorrow.
That's right. You're going abroad tomorrow. You know, you try to make sure that you follow the customs of that country.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you don't do things to offend people in that country.
Yeah, I even tone down how I dress.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I know my sister just, you know, came back from Africa and she did the same thing. She had to cover her head, the portion of Africa that she went to, that she had to do that. And so, you know, that's what you do when you're in another person's country.
Yeah,
all right,
absolutely.
So, you know, here, you know, you kind of want to do the same thing. You know, go into the restroom or the bathroom and then wash your feet. You know, if you're going to do that, don't do it in the sink that people use for food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's disgusting.
Not for food.
That's gross.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Let's not do it for food. All right. So, man, and also this deputy actually had her gun taken away from her. So this happened in California this week. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see this video. So over in California, this guy does something, a deputy comes in contact with this guy. I don't even remember what it was, but they're out there and they're fighting, they're tussling, and it's a female deputy, and she's fighting with this guy, going back and forth. Well, then she eventually pulls out her service pistol, and this guy is just wailing on her. He's wailing on her, and she's trying to pull out her gun and shoot this guy. And there's somebody running behind him. There are people filming this. No one's coming to this female officer's aid at all. And then he takes out that gun. He actually shoots at her with her gun.
Wow.
He missed, but he shot at her. And then seconds after that, you know, the other police arrive on the scene, arrest this guy. It was just insane. Another insane video out of California there. So, you know, this, let's go back to training. You know, let's make sure, one, you learn some defensive tactics.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn how to,
you
know, you may have to fight your way out of a situation. I talk about that in class also, you know, because you may not be able to get to your gun. And also the gun should be your last option anyway. But there are certain situations where you may have to fight your way out of that situation.
No, for sure. I know. I mean, I didn't have my gun available when I was attacked. I had to fight.
You had to fight for quite a while.
I did, for about 30 minutes.
30 minutes of fighting.
Yeah.
Ooh, man. But hey, let's talk about your vacation. You're getting ready to take a trip.
Oh, I'm taking an amazing trip. I'm so excited.
Why are you leaving us?
Well, as
don't leave Texas as the last one we got. We got to stay and defend.
No, I'm my plans, as I said when I was talking to you, before
just a vacation.
We went on there, I'm going on a vacation.
Okay, not permanently.
My plans, are to stay here, stay in Austin, and I really feel a need to get really, really politically involved, whether it's volunteering or whether it's actually running for an office. I'm going to see what evolves, but no, I'm not leaving, but. As everyone, you know, I've mentioned that I had cancer last year and I'm well still. It made me want to make many changes in my life. And so I finally sold my business. It was official on August 1st. So I've been doing pretty much just catching up on things the last month. And we planned this trip. It's with my daughter because I was sick so long, we hadn't taken a vacation. So we are leaving tomorrow and flying into Venice.
Ooh.
And staying 2 days in Venice and then taking a ferry to Croatia and spending about a week in Croatia and then returning to Venice for another couple days and flying back. So,
nice.
Yeah. So I'm really excited.
Oh, man. Very nice. Very nice. And you decided you didn't want to do a cruise or anything like that. You just want to do it kind of on your own.
Yeah. This way we can, if I was on a cruise, I mean, we're going to do so many things that we wouldn't have been able to fit at all, you know, on a cruise. We're going to be moving around quite a bit. Actually, that's why we have the goal. We're going to do it. We're only going to take carry-ons because we're going to be moving around from hotel to hotel quite a bit.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so 2 weeks worth of clothes for a female in a small carry-on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to have fun, though.
I am. I'm super excited. We've got a lot of stuff planned. So,
and I got some men lined up for you when you come back, so don't find anybody while you're over there.
Oh, yeah. my girlfriend, Rochelle, she has Ray Cosmetics, best cosmetics here, so go check her out. She has told me many, many times that, because her she travels a lot, she's told me many times that literally the most beautiful people you will ever see are in Croatia, of all really? The places she's gone. So I put on my Instagram announcing that I'm going, and I was like, I'm expecting a really attractive cabana boy.
Oh, boy. Nice.
We'll see.
Nice, nice. Well, you should have fun, for sure. Should be a nice 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, nice 2 weeks. Definitely enjoy yourself.
We will.
All right, so we come back from the break. I'm going to break down, I promise, the Governor Abbott issues, you know, his 8 executive orders. We're going to break those 8 executive orders down. Also going to talk, you know, some people are asking questions about, you know, the 30.06 and 07 sign. I see you. I'm going to answer your question there when we come back from the break as well, because some new stuff went into effect September 1st, 2019, and some people had specific questions. Someone asked about what if a church, you know, what if the church is having church services in a school? Can they carry inside the school? Going to answer that question. We come back from the break as well. But Governor Abbott has issued his 8 executive orders. 8 executive orders. Now, following the tragedies in El Paso and Odessa, Governor Greg Abbott yesterday issued 8 executive orders to help prevent further mass shootings by enhancing reporting requirements and ensuring law enforcement and public and the public have the training, tools, and resources they need to provide and respond to suspicious activity reports. And I definitely want to get your thoughts. You know, you have to give that to me in the comment section of the Facebook video. Give me your thoughts there on Facebook of, you know, what do you think about it? So when I read those to you. Okay, so definitely when you come back from the break, we'll get into that. And I want to know your thoughts. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Brittany Glaze, and I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so let's talk about these 8 executive orders that Governor Abbott has actually released yesterday, and I'm going to read those to you. All right, so basically in the aftermath of both shootings, officials learned that the mother of the El Paso gunman had expressed concerns to law enforcement about her son. And in Odessa, the killer had called both local and federal authorities prior to his shooting spree. Now, yesterday's directives by the governor will help close the information gaps when suspicion of a potential mass shooter arises, so they hope. And the governor thinks that these executive orders will enhance law enforcement's ability to respond and prevent these types of shootings. So let's break these down. Let's look at order number 1. Okay, it says, within 30 days of this order, the Texas Department of Public Safety shall develop standardized intake questions that can be used by all Texas law enforcement agencies to better identify whether a person calling the agency has information that should be reported to the Texas Suspicious Activity Reporting Network. Man, I've never even heard of the Texas Suspicious Activity
either.
Reporting Network.
But, I mean, that sounds reasonable. I've never heard of it. And therefore, who's going to know? I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
All right, and then order number 2, within 30 days of this order, the Department of Public Safety shall develop clear guidance based on the appropriate legal standard for when and how Texas law enforcement agencies should submit suspicious activity reports. So, and you would think they were doing that already. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think that, especially with this guy in Odessa, you know, the fact that he came in contact with, he dialed 911 the morning of, by the way, When he was fired, his boss dialed 911. He dialed 911 to report his boss. So there are obviously some issues there. And then hours later, he contacted the FBI and did a little rant there. And this wasn't the first time this guy had dialed 911 to rant. He's done it, you know, previously before in the past. And then apparently it's come out that, you know, the narrative last week was, oh my goodness, let's do something with private sales, you know, selling of a gun from one person to another. We need to get rid of this little loophole of private sales. Well, it's not a loophole. You shouldn't be regulating what one person can sell to another person. You know, when it comes to it's not interstate commerce. You know, this mm-hmm. is something inside my house. I should be able to sell something from what I have to someone else. I should be able to give someone in my family a gift. I should be able to do all these things. There's no reason why we should have to get the government involved in a transaction between one person to another.
I have a question. I'm not saying I'm for or against it, but just, and these are questions that I've heard from other people. What would be the problem if they did that? Like, let's say hypothetically, if they changed the law to, I have a gun and I want to sell it to a friend of mine, I have to go to an FFA dealer and have them fill out the paperwork, and we need to do it in a certain fashion. What would be the harm in that? Because it's a gun. I don't know. That's what I'm.
I would recommend it if it's someone that you don't know, for sure. But if it's someone that you do know, there's really no need to have to pay the extra fee. And to do that, you shouldn't have to. But if it's someone you don't know, I actually recommend people do that. You know, you're selling the gun to someone you don't know, definitely. You know, go meet in the gun store. Mm-hmm. That's a nice, safe location. And then definitely do a background check, you know, and pass it from that, you know, from you to that other person. Absolutely. And then pay the transfer fee. But you shouldn't have to do that for, you know, because we don't have to do that for anything else. You know, if I want to.
Well, but if I want to give, I can't just give my daughter a car, right? I have to transfer the title.
You do if you want to ride on public roads. But let's say you have a ag exemption. You don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to register your vehicle if you have an ag exemption or anything like that.
No, I know. Yeah. And look, I'm all for keeping guns and everything. I just think at some point, in order to satisfy those on the far left, mm-hmm. some concessions are going to have to be made. I really do, because this is just going to keep going forever and ever and ever. And I know we don't want to make any concessions. And I'm just thinking out loud right now. I'm not saying this is the answer, but I say to myself, well, what would be the harm? Because a lot of people do say this loophole, and I'm like, it's not a loophole.
No, it's not a loophole.
But what if you did and make it to where when you transfer a gun, it has to be done at a store.
And here's another way. If we were to pass universal background checks, here's what would happen. So, for example, you wouldn't be able to give, you know, your son or let, you know, a friend go to the range and shoot your gun at the range. You'd have to do a background check before you do that. You wouldn't be able to pass, you know, a gun, you know, from you to your daughter. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be able to get her a gun. You'd have to walk into the gun store to do the background check to do that. And how long did it take you to come to the store to pick up your gun for me?
Oh, a long time. Yeah.
It's like that inconvenience, right? Yeah. Of having to do that. So, you know, that's what you would have to do, you know? And then also, let's say you did something 30 years ago and you went to jail, you paid your debts to society, whatever it was, you did your time for that crime. Well, that was 30 years ago. Now you've been an outstanding citizen and you want to buy a gun and have it at home for personal protection.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Texas law says after 5 years, a convicted felon can actually have a gun at home for personal protection. They can't go to the gun range, can't practice with it, can't have it in a vehicle, can't go anywhere. It has to stay at home for personal protection. Well, if they were to pass universal background checks, that means that person who did something 30 years ago, been an outstanding citizen ever since then, they will never be able to purchase a gun ever because we have universal background checks. They won't be able to pass a federal firearms license dealer check.
So what do you think is the answer? I mean, I know we can't solve all the problems today on this program.
Sure.
I mean, I often tell people, because on the flip side, I'm the first one that says, look, my thoughts on the whole gun thing is I don't want many restrictions because time is of the essence. Like if you do, there's been times that I've been concerned for my safety regarding an ex. I wouldn't want to have to wait to get a gun. for any period of time, quite frankly. I'd want to have one on me. If anything happens, they always tell people, like, you know, it's fine and dandy, but if you're calling the police about a rape, it's already occurred.
Mm.
So I don't care if their response time is like 15 minutes. Chances are a lot has already happened in those 15 minutes. So, I mean, I think it's, and I always tell people, I do agree more guns equal less crime. But I don't know, like, how do we stop these people that, this one person, like,
and it's
the mental health aspect of it.
Yeah, and it goes all the way back from, you know, day one. You know, we look at the Bible, you know, and Cain killed Abel. You know, this evil has always existed.
Oh, I agree. I do.
Always existed. So really there's, you know, no way you're just going to eliminate evil.
No,
it's been in us from day one.
That's, I definitely agree
even
with
when
that.
Even when Eve tricked, you know, Adam into, you know, biting into the so-called apple.
Yeah. I agree. And I like when people say, like, trying to find solutions for every single one of these problems, you have to at some point just come to the realization it is what it is. We are now in a world where, and I don't think shootings, it's not like it just began. I think
it's
being politicized a lot more than ever right now.
And we're getting our news so fast now. We're getting it through Twitter, Facebook, you know, Instagram. We're getting it so quick now. And it's right there in your face.
Yeah, like, a perfect example of that is my sister. Back when she was raped and murdered in 1990, we didn't have all the news media that we do right now. If that would have been the case, it would have been on Fox News. It would have been on every major network. But I mean, we managed to get it on that show with John Walsh. But now something happens, and within 10 minutes, you're seeing it all over the news all across the country. Mm. So it appears that there's more rapes. It appears that there's more killings, and I think crime has been going down over the years, except for in places like Chicago.
Right. And they get into the little trap of, you know, talking about this modern day shootings. And I don't know what this is.
What is that supposed to mean?
Exactly. There have been mass killings for quite a while, as long as you know, as far back as you want to go. There were communities, entire communities that were wiped out.
Yeah, for sure. I always reference the gun-free zone that Biden passed. I think shootings, school shootings, I mean, you take away, if a criminal wants to go to a school knowing there's not any guns, I mean, that's the prime target.
Exactly. He knows that there's no one there to protect the elementary school.
Yeah.
You know, because the police officer, that resource officer, is usually at the high school, and they just drive by the middle and the elementary school, just to swing by real quick. But usually they're at the high school because that's, you know, where the older kids are. They're the ones protecting the babies.
No,
Not at all. All right, let's look at some of these other executive orders. The governor says this is order number 3. Within 60 days of this order, the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement shall make training available to educate all law enforcement officers regarding the standards that will be developed pursuant to order number 1 and order number 2. Oh, man, that's funny.
It just sounds like a bunch of redundant nonsense.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. And then order number 4 says the Department of Public Safety shall create a conduct and initiative to raise public awareness and understanding of how suspicious activity reports are used by law enforcement agencies to identify potential mass shooters or terroristic threats so that the general public and friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors, and classmates will be more likely to report information about potential gunmen. Look, if you think that someone's getting ready to do something, you've seen something they've written, they have a list, and I'm talking about your previous shootings here. Well, a person has created a list of people that they want to kill. You know, this is your recent shooting. Things like that, of that nature, then you might want to contact the police.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I don't think we need a class or in any of that stuff. And that's probably what the problem is. And that's where, you know, people are talking about red flags. And some of this stuff is the initiative of trying to get into the red flags, trying to condition us to think that we should have some type of red flag law when we already have things in place already. You know, you see something, say something. You know that someone's planning something. They're writing down. They have a list. They're putting the ingredients together. Then you need to contact the police.
Yeah, and they don't.
No.
They're afraid to.
Yeah. Order number 5 says the Department of Public Safety shall work with the Texas Education Agency and the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board on ways to better inform schools, students, staff, and families about the importance of suspicious activity reports and how to initiate that process. We need to get into the schools and talk about stop bullying, you know, stop mistreating, you know, the other students. You see that person that's sitting by themselves, you might want to walk over there, put your hand around your arm around their shoulders and say, hey, how you doing? You know, you are loved. You are cared for, you know, and stop, you know, picking on other kids, because kids can be really cruel. And those are some of the things that are happening in school.
Yeah, I believe the legislature passed something, though, with the schools. Aren't they going to have mental health care for in Austin now? Or actually in the state, excuse me. I believe I read that the legislature passed. I don't remember what it was called. But they're going to have training. They're going to have more counselors on site. And they're going to be partnering with mental health facilities to help some of these children with coping mechanisms and then how to know the signs of someone who's, you know, not doing well mentally.
All right, we'll talk about that and some more stuff. We're going to read the rest of the executive orders. We come back from the break. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coleon Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, we're talking about Governor Abbott. He issued yesterday the 8 executive orders in response to El Paso and Odessa shootings. And before we go back to those, man, Chad says, hey, what do y'all think about the buyback program? The Democratic candidates are pushing this.
Oh, God.
You know what? My response to them is come and take it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not selling my guns to you.
That's what Beto's been running around saying.
Yeah, he's pushing this thing. He's like, yeah, you know, it's going to be a mandatory buyback program. Well, you know what? It's not going to happen. And a weird thing is, this is some breaking news out of Houston, Texas. Let's see here. Let me get to it real quick here. That's right. We got something breaking out of Houston. I got to find it. Oh, man, I should look for that on the break. Where someone's been arrested over that bump stock. Ooh. I don't know if you guys heard about that. Anybody ever out there heard about that? Yeah. So the guy, someone's actually been arrested. First person that we have on record here being arrested over the bump stock. I'll find that story and I'll come back to it. All right. So, and then also, let's see who Shane says. You're never going to be able to stop crazy. The biggest problem is no one has an answer for this. So all we hear is the extremes of each side. That's right. You can't legislate crazy.
You can't.
You know, we try to create laws and try to stop a lot of different things, but you're not going to be able to stop, you know, every situation. You're not going to be able to stop someone who's dead set on committing something. You know, like, for instance, this guy in, I forget what state it is, they actually went in and took his guns from him. They went in and took all his guns. And then what did he do? He stabbed his mother.
That's not funny.
I know. But, yeah. They went in and they used the red flag law.
The point,
yeah. They used the red flag law to take his guns away from him because he made guns, whatever. They took them, confiscated them. And then what did he do? He killed his mother.
Her.
Yeah. He stabbed her to death.
Yeah.
Gutted her.
Oh.
It's nasty as it sounds. But, you know, you can take one tool.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not going to stop the evil.
No, it's not. It's baffling to me how people think that stricter gun laws are going to... Someone is... In their mind, they already want to commit a crime, i.e. murder, rape, whatever. And you think somehow, some way, by having stricter gun laws, they're going to be like, oh, shoot, I can't do that murder. I can't go get that gun at the gun store.
Yeah.
Forget it. I mean, just like... Has the drug war worked? Mm. Do people still get drugs? Yes. There's always going to be someone out there selling things illegally.
My message for Beto and all the other Democratic candidates out there that are running for president, here's my message to you. Prison is the one place you're not supposed to get weapons or drugs. But there are a lot of weapons and drugs in prison.
Exactly.
That is where you've eliminated. No one can get any weapons. No one can get any drugs. You can't have any guns in prison. And guns wind up in prison. Not even the jailers you know, have firearms. They're locked up or whatever. They don't even have them. So, you know, that one place where that's supposed to be secure, you're not supposed to get any weapons, no drugs whatsoever, they have weapons and drugs.
Yeah, people are, they're going to find a way. You just have to have strict laws to keep people locked up or whatever it takes. I mean, I agree we need to do something about mental health, but I don't think that's the only solution.
And this story here that I was talking about is out of Chicago, where this Park Ridge man in Chicago charged in the stabbing death of his mother last month had illegal firearms, including at least two that he had made himself from parts he got online. They confiscated from his home twice in the last 2 years. The most recent incident taking place just 2 weeks before the murder, reports from the Park Ridge Police Department, it alleged that David, I can't pronounce his last name, who was 47 years old of the 1900 block of Cortland Avenue, was charged with first-degree murder on July 29th after a police officer found the body of David's mother. What happened was a police officer and a social worker were driving by this guy's house on July 29th, and they noticed groceries that were just strewn out in the driveway. And so then they asked David, hey, you know, David, what's going on? If they could come into the house or whatever. And so they discovered, once they came in, they discovered the lady's body inside.
Wow.
Yeah. He stabbed his mother. It's insane. You just, no matter what you do, you know, you can go after the guns only. You go after that tool. Doesn't matter. That person's going to find something.
They're going to find another tool.
Yeah, because evil is still there. You have not addressed the problem. And stop using this term assault weapon.
Oh, I know.
That drives me nuts.
Everywhere.
You can assault someone with anything. A bat, you know?
I know. It's you have to say this though. As much as I don't vote on the left, they are really good at spinning things, like for those that don't pay a lot of attention. Like they'll use a word over and over and over and over and over till it's practically brainwashed into some of these people's minds.
And then the one of our last stories here, a sheriff in Lancaster, this happened over in, I believe this was in California as well. Lancaster deputy who faked being shot is no longer employed by the department. So basically, this is a rookie deputy who falsely claimed he was shot in the shoulder outside the Lancaster Sheriff Station a week ago, is no longer with the department, which will present its finding to the district attorney's office. And basically, the investigation determined that the deputy, who was 21 years old, had not been ambushed on the afternoon of August 21st, like he said. And so they're now faced with both a criminal investigation and a personal matter, according to the police department. So basically, this guy, you know, he faked, you know, saying that he was shot outside the police department.
Wow.
So there's definitely some issues going on there. Mental health is probably, you know.
Mental health is a huge problem. I really think it's gotten worse because what we were talking about earlier, people's coping mechanisms are just non-existent.
This guy's a rookie, so I'm actually questioning their screening process now.
Well, that probably too, yeah.
Definitely question the screening process. And then, you know, let's do a quick homeless update before we finish off with Governor Abbott. You know, so the homeless in Austin, you know, you got a friend that's possibly coming to town to clean up some stuff.
Yes, Scott Pressler. Follow him. Everyone follow him. He's doing great things across the country. He's also registering voters. His movement is called The Persistence, but his name is Scott Pressler, P-R-E-S-L-E-R. He's cleaned up Baltimore, Virginia Beach, I mean, all across the country and doing phenomenal things in these cities.
Yeah, so hopefully he comes to Austin and help us clean it up a little bit and then register voters as well.
He is. Yeah, he'll be here. And he's going to be in Dallas and Houston as well. I just don't have the exact. I know it will be in October, but I don't have solid dates yet. As soon as I get those, I will let everyone know.
I think this homeless issue is definitely going to be an issue that can turn some elections. It can, you know, turn some things around a little bit. You know, it's pretty sad when volunteers go out to clean up some of the homeless camps. And they have to wear a little, you know, wear suits.
Yeah, it's
and stuff. Yeah,
I mean, I've seen the footage from California, and we're little by little getting up there with L.A. and whatnot. It's ridiculous.
All right, so let's finish off with Governor Abbott here. So order number six, Says the Department of Public Safety shall work with local law enforcement, mental health professionals, school districts, and others to create a multidisciplinary threat assessment teams for each of its regions, and when appropriate, shall coordinate with federal partners. Order number 7 says the Department of Public Safety, as well as the Office of the Governor, shall use all available resources to increase staff at all fusion centers in Texas for the purpose of better collecting and responding to suspicious activity reports and better monitoring and analyzing social media and other online forums for potential threats. So better watch what you say on social media. If you're that type of, if you're that person that's been banned on Facebook or Twitter, you're probably going to be on their radar. I'm telling you now, watch out. Order number 8, beginning January 1st of 2020, all future grants from the Office of the Governor to counties shall require a commitment that the county will report at least 90% of convictions within 7 business days to the Criminal Justice Information System of the Department of Public Safety. 90%. They want you to at least look here. You need to not only should you withhold funds from these courts, you should, someone should go to jail for not doing their job.
Exactly.
Because you're saying someone's been convicted of a crime, they're not supposed to be in possession of a firearm, they should get denied doing the background check process, and you're saying, hey, well, if you just do 90%.
Yeah, it should be 100%.
Let me just do 90% of my job in the gun store.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm going to do 90% of my job in the gun store when we're doing background checks.
Hey, while we're at it, only give me a speeding ticket 90% of the time.
90% of the time.
I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's where we're going to 90% of the time. Boy, this is a joke. I don't know what's going on here. We need to make sure you need to do your job 100% of the time, 110% of the time.
Yeah.
They need to do their job, and they need to have their funds withheld for not doing their job, and someone needs to go to jail. And he's hoping that, you know, by January 1st of 2021, he wants the reporting, you know, to take place within 5 business days.
Ooh.
90%
with technology today, we need, what, does someone have to go on horse to deliver this information?
Yeah, 5 business days, you know, with 90% of the time, we want you to do your job. Well, I tell you, you know, and that's the governor's, you know, those are his 8 executive orders. Be careful. This is leading to red flag laws. They're trying to get us to the point where we're doing universal background checks. And I think all this stuff is kind of dangerous. We have a system in place right now. We just need our government agencies on the state level, the city level, and the federal level to do their job. You know, the system is there. It will work if they do their job.
Honestly, I don't hear one of those things. They don't make me feel like it's going to have any impact. All I hear is things like 7 days, 30 days, 60 days. Meanwhile,
please, pretty please, with a cherry on top.
Meanwhile, the next day someone goes out and shoots 50 people. I mean, I just don't see it solving anything.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, as always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Keep your change.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.